I'm Elliot Ichimura. I am a principal program manager with the R&D team in Dynamics, and I'm one of the parties that focuses on our project service automation solution, as well as the field service solution. I'll give you just a quick context on who I am before I'd like to ask you a few questions about who you are. So for my side, I have been with Microsoft for about 11 years. Before that, I was in Big Four Accounting for a similar amount of time. And my entire career has basically been around technology associated with professional services, project-based organizations, typically on the revenue-generating side, although I've also done internal IT-related as well. Most recently, before this role, I was in marketing and focused on, indeed, bringing our various project-based tools and solutions, if you will, to the marketplace. And I've been in the R&D side for about a year and a half or so. Now, so from context perspective, if it has to do with billable rate type organizations and that kind of a background, that's basically where I come from. And so you'll get sort of that oozing through some of the commentary that I have today. Now, before I just get started, a quick question from you is, first and foremost, who's a customer versus customers? Partners? Okay, we're a little bit partner heavy today. Who's already used or tried to use the PSA product? Okay, a handful of you. So that suggests that most of you are here actually just learn what it is, what it can do, and so on. Okay, great. From what we'll be focusing on today will be a combination of slides and then demo, and we'll be going back and forth. And I'll tell you up front that there is a in-development build that I'll be using for part of this. So I'm going to caveat some things in front. So part of it, I'll show you generally available what's in market today, and that is going to be stable. And then the development side, you might see a few hiccups as we go. There are things that are still in flight. So, clicker. Okay, so I'll just give you a little bit of context, what we're trying to do, why. Talk about the features at a macro level just to give you the orientation, and then we'll jump into actual feature walkthrough of some sort of major components. We won't go into granular detail except in a few areas. And then I will tell you a little bit about the roadmap components, so sort of what's coming next. I'm afraid I'm not at liberty to put dates on anything, so you'll just have to stay tuned for dates, but you'll see what level of development they're in, and you can kind of judge for yourself there, and then resources and Q&A. So the original title was Dynamics CRM based, and then there have been a lot of announcements since we put that title out there a couple months ago. Dynamics 365, Microsoft Dynamics 365, is our new framework. You've probably heard a lot about that already at this convention. And when you look at the, if you will, customer journey and the different touch points that our organization has with a client, it covers many of the components you see up there, even operations, because it may be back office, but when you look, think about billing and activities like accounts receivable, that's still a customer interactive and facing component. So any one of those pieces is a touch point with a customer. Many of these are built on the CRM platform or technology as part of Dynamics 365. You, on the operations side, it could be any of our ERP technologies, quote unquote. I'm sort of bridging to legacy here. And then our focus for the purposes of the team that I work with are those listed, the field service and project service automation components. And in all of these, and today, of course, is project services the focus, in all of these, we're looking to do a much better job over time of really integrating out of the box the different Microsoft technologies that are at your disposal through the cloud and through cloud services. And to varying degrees in a hybrid context as well. I'll tell you up front today that project service automation is cloud only at this point in time. There will undoubtedly come a point where we look at the hybrid type scenarios as well, but for the time being, we're iterating quickly to get it to a level of, shall we say, robustness before we then bring it to the on-premises side. And that's kind of the cloud-first policy and approach that we take. So, from a customer's perspective, what's driving this and why are we investing in this area? So Microsoft, yes, we have Microsoft Project and sort of project-based authoring and online project management tools and such, but we've never really invested in quote-unquote PSA tools. Now that normal acronym for that is professional service automation. We have intentionally not chosen that as our language or label for this. We call it Project Service Automation because we want to be a little more generic than just professional services. Although that is indeed where we are playing. But what we see in our project-based customer organizations is a change in the market environment. Now, depending on which geos you're based out of, you're going to see different results, of course. So these are some macro ones that come from one of our analysts that we work with in the marketplace. But because of customer expectations and organizations really working to, shall we say, connect more deeply with their customers, it's harder than ever to crack open an account and get that next set of revenue from that account. The cross-sell, upsell challenges, you're now running into other parties that have created their particular base of operations within that customer account. And so how do you outcompete them? How do you show that you're the better party, the trusted advisor, the more efficient, predictable deliverer, and so on? That's kind of the set of challenges that our customers are typically dealing with when they have a project-based and typically revenue-generating project organization. So one thing I should note, we use the word client here and so on. If you're pure professional service, many of you are partners, I'm sure you use that language. If you're in a manufacturing industry and you have a distribution arm and you do projects for your customers there, we are intending to address those as well. And so your language and lexicon may differ. But you're still trying to make sure that the combination of product plus value-added services outshines what the competition can offer. And so that's our objective, is to make sure that you get both of those things and deliver to the customer with the next level of differentiating project capabilities. Other things around employee attrition increasing, at least in North America, the economy seems to be doing a little bit better. People are a little more mobile. And so the question is, how do you engage your employees? And of course, there's also the challenge of how do you get the best bang for the buck, if you will, out of the resources that you have on staff, and making sure that you get that productivity and efficiency while keeping them happy and retaining them, always a balancing act. So those are sort of complex challenges. The key things we hear from project-based organization leadership is that they're first and foremost trying to deepen that engagement. They may be fundamentally adept at client relationships, but that doesn't mean that the other guys aren't equally adept. So that may not be good enough. You have to go even deeper, find other ways to create a touch point, a connection. Thus the customer journey thinking. How do you empower your people? If you're going to retain them, they need to feel like they are empowered and they are getting the mileage out of the relationship with you as an employer, and that you're giving them the tools they need to be successful in front of their clients. And of course, to optimize and grow. So these are just some of the sort of top level things. None of these are terribly new. It's the pendulum swings, and different ones take a different level of power at any given point in time. One of the key findings, however, that I think is interesting to note, and we see this repeatedly in the surveys, this is from SPI Research, which focuses just on project-based organizations, including captive organizations in manufacturing and other industries, is that the organizations that do invest in very clear processes, tools, and then integrate those across the different stages, if you will, in the value chain within the organization or the business process chain, those are the organizations that see the best results consistently. Now, you can say cause or effect. Do they invest because they're good to begin with, or is it the investment that made them good? Okay, we can't answer that question precisely, but what you see here, at least from a data point, should at least be inspirational, if nothing else, which is, as you see, like bid-to-win ratio, if you have so-called CRM or customer sales and marketing systems, and you integrate those into your ERP or other systems, you get that visibility into the accounts, you get better bid-to-win ratios. And that means you're spending less time or wasting less time pursuing deals that you don't win, which means you have more billable hours or at least more sales resources out there winning more deals. And I'll kind of zip through the rest of the list there. You can see for yourself. But the telling one is the last one, EBITDA. And at a 22% return rate versus what is that, a 5% for the others. So the top 20 see those kinds of results, and they have a very clear investment in process capabilities and integration between those systems, and are starting to look at what we see increasingly as we're being asked for. So help me make these things actually pivot on the customer journey, because that's what largely in the marketplace we're hearing most centrally, is that customers demand more, expect more. It's the age of the app for that. And if you can't be as convenient to work with as the apps that they can do for self-service, why am I working with you? That kind of a mindset is just permeating even business-to-business relationships, because your day-to-day consumer experience influences and affects your purchasing and mindset as a client or as a customer. So what is Project Service Automation? It's an end-to-end solution for customer engagement, and it goes all the way from the sales stage through to the billing and analytics, but I will say we don't go as far as accounts receivable and the actual, shall we say, fundamental transactional layer that happens at the ERP end. So think of it as a little bit more of a front office tool that's designed to work around your interactions or your people's interactions with their external buyers, and also to collaborate with each other to deliver service more effectively, more efficiently to those accounts. From a roles perspective, we're looking across the spectrum at delivering to the many different stakeholders in the client-facing organization. And indeed, for some of these, you'll see that we've built specific dashboards and reporting capabilities that help them better understand what's happening in their piece of the business. So you'll see that through the demo. So we'll go ahead right now and just jump into demo. Nothing like seeing the product. And I will do a sort of shake and bake. We'll go back and forth between the slides and demo here. So we'll start with the sales integration side. From a context setting, we'll look at opportunities. This is your standard sales dashboard in a CRM-ish organization, rather system. And we'll look at how we go about pursuing an opportunity, scoping it. And let me just see if I click forward here. Yes. We'll go about scoping an opportunity and then thinking about what kind of cost structure is going to come with actually delivering on that opportunity. Because at the end of the day, you have to be profitable. That's what you're measured on. But you also have to win the deal, so you have to be attractive to the customer. And that's the fine balancing act, right? Is that you have to make margin, and you have to win the deal against the competition. So that's what we'll focus on in this segment right here. Whoops. Okay, we'll switch over to sales dashboard as a starting point. Oh, importantly, who's new to the quote-unquote CRM product? Couple of folks? Okay. Just in brief, for those of you, okay. So just to make sure everyone's on the same page, as a construct, this is the business application, the customer engagement focused business application. The tiles across the top from a navigation perspective are different functional areas, the major areas. So as you see there, sales, service, marketing, project service. I have another build where you'll see field service there as well. And those are the major components. And then we just go down to the areas, and we can see the different areas you can just jump right into, if you will, within those. So most organizations, you'll have an account manager or a primary client account contact, and they'll spend a good chunk of their day, perhaps, in their sales dashboard looking at what opportunities are in the pipe, how are we progressing those, and so on. So what we see here, we'll take Prakash as our character here, is that he sees the set of different leads he's got going, top customers, top opportunities, and so on, and then any activities that are in process around some of those opportunities. Now what I'm gonna do is jump right into opportunities and pick one that we actually have in process. So for those of you who haven't seen CRM, you see the chevrons across the top right under Chic CRM opportunity. Chic is our customer, a department store. So, and you see qualify, propose, contract, close. That's just the guided process that is displayed around different business process components or segments throughout the platform. On this one, this is the sales side, but what you're going to see is that sales and delivery actually start to come together in the design that we've made. And these are some of the specific things we've done in order to make this a project service type solution. So we see here customer, account, purchase time frame, and so on. There are approximate budget, $250,000 for this CRM consulting and implementation deal. Various components that you would see around stakeholders, sales team, and so on. And then where we typically historically see in order management systems is product baselines. So these are the product components here. And then then quotes as well. So let me switch over. One thing to note is that we're looking at this through the sales lens. Let me just switch over to, the project service lens. Sorry. So what you were just seeing a moment ago was the standard sales, which is more of a product-centric view of things. When we switch over to the same opportunity viewed through the through the project service view, you see the quote lines that we have here around hybrid offshore quote and then onshore quote. So for this particular project, the customer has two components to it. One is that they want to have an upfront consulting project that says, you know, what do we really need to implement? What are the components that need to be part of our implementation plan, and what needs to be customized on top of that? And then the second segment is around the detailed design, development, and implementation side of it. So essentially two projects within a larger proposal, and that's the opportunity. So the quotes are multiple quotes, and for that opportunity, the reason you do that is the customer may say, well, I want to see different variations on that. Or you may have a competitor that you know often tries to underprice you in the marketplace, so you need to have some options around. If we go in at one level and the customer says, hey, your competition is coming in substantially lower, come back to the table with something else that's more convincing, then you could switch to another version of the quote that has, shall we say, some cost structure improvements in terms of how you deliver. So, for example, going hybrid, taking some of the work offshore in order to bring down the cost structure. So in this opportunity context, that's what we're trying to enable, is to be able to look at, and I shouldn't say trying, we do enable, is to be able to look at different versions of a quote that have some components that are the same and shared across them, and other components that are different and are modified differently to reflect the way that you're refining that particular piece of the quote. So we'll just take a look at the one for onshore at the moment, which would be, if you will, the high watermark from a price perspective normally. It's a North American point of view, I guess. But here we see the quote itself, the components of it, so project-based components as well as product-based components showing in the same area. In the future, we will also have subscription-type components around services. So field services-type work will also be part of that agreement construct. So you could have design it, plan it with the customer, develop and implement it, and then maintain it and upgrade it and service it afterwards. Certainly very useful for product-based companies in manufacturing, for example, where you would want to have field service work in order to maintain the assets after they've been deployed or installed. And so in this, we see the summary view of it. When's the customer expecting delivery? When's the quote expire and such? The quote lines, and we're going to drill into those in just a moment. And I should also note that we can take a profitability analysis view and say, okay, well, how much are we going to make on this particular project? And now you're going to see us making a lot of money at the moment because you see a gross margin of 49%. Now, that's an unrealistic number. And the reason is that we haven't actually put in all of the cost components yet. On this. This is just doing an estimation at the top level, but until the cost comes in, you don't really know what your margins are. So distribution of cost and revenue, and then you can also look at the world through the customer's eyes against what their budget is and say, okay, what was the customer budget? What are we quoting? So we see for development work, we quoted where we're saying $100,000 and their budget was $100,000, so we're dead on. For consulting work, we're actually coming in a bit lower at about $27,000 versus $50,000, so That looks pretty good. That's something where we can differentiate, if you will, on that, at least from a price perspective. So let's drill in now to the components of the quote, and then you'll start seeing the details. So this is an existing component, which is the upfront consulting project. Here, what you see are the details around what the different cost components are, and I need to show you how we get to those. So here you see the initiation, interviews, proposals, prepare and present, review and refine. This is actually around helping, in this case, Chic Department Stores committee present that to the board for what they're going to go do or implement with the CRM system. So this is a consulting project to work with the client, the customer, and frame out their strategy with them, and then bring that and get approval for the next phase, if you will. So as you can see, we've got quantities of hours for each of these different periods. We've got role. Now, there's only one role showing here. I'll show you a more complex project later. This is just like a single consultant doing this early upfront work. And the sales price and the extended amount, which all add up to getting to you. In this case, it's a fixed price project, so we have a $50,000 fixed price, but the quoted amount's $27,000. If we actually took our list price for those hours, it'd probably be somewhere in the high 30s, somewhere in that range, with margins built in. But we're going in with $50,000, at least on this one right here. I'm sorry, I misread that. That's the budget amount. That was the customer budget. We're coming in at $27,000 for the quoted amount. Now, what you see here is important, is the CRM consulting. That's the project itself. So this is where the sales side of the house and the project side of the house, or the service delivery side, come together. So in many organizations, there are completely discrete systems. There's the upfront sort of quoting side of it, what is the size of the bread box, and there's an account manager or somebody who doesn't often necessarily work on the other side, on the delivery side. So they're really just trying to price it and scope it and price it to win. And then there's this tension with the service delivery side, which is saying, hey, you guys are being unrealistic about what it's going to take to do this. You really need to understand what the underlying cost structure is. And the two have to send reports back and forth between each other in order to talk, as opposed to being able to see everything in one place and agree and understand what's going on. So here we bring those two together. Here we're going to jump into the CRM consulting project. And now this is the project that underlies that one quote line in that quote. So for Chic Department Store, we have the top level view of it. The estimated cost, okay, here's where we get to the details we're looking for. So it's $19,000 for the cost, and we had some $27,000 that we were quoting for it. The sales components that go into it, and then the project opportunity connections, those are the connections. And then we have the team. But what's more familiar to folks is this view of things, which is the Gantt chart view. So here, you see a traditional Gantt chart. The assumption that we've started with is that most organizations have templates for that, in the sense that you probably have standardized as much as possible some of your delivery. And so you can actually create these from a template. I'll just show you that in just a moment. With that, you can craft a quick proposal structure, if you will, for what it takes to deliver on that piece of the project, refine the details, and then expose this to the account team directly through the same system. So then they understand what are the phases, what are the components, who are the people who have to work on this, and where is the cost coming from a service delivery perspective, and why can you not afford to go so low on your price point as you thought you would like to. Those are some of the frequent conversations. You also have the ability to look at project estimates and see from a sales perspective when the revenue is going to come in which periods. Of course, you can change periods, and for larger long-term projects, you could look at it a month or a year view. This is a relatively short one, so we'll keep it at the week level view. The costs behind this, so the costs that would be incurred by that particular resource and type, and sales revenue as well for these different periods. And then for project team members, we see the view of who's available to work on this. And I'll show you a more complex one, so we'll have a little more fun with it. But you see generic resource there. So when you first create a quote on a project, it's rare that you're going to just assign people to it. You aren't going to tie those resources up if you're still early in the stage of proposing and pursuing the project. So you're probably going to keep generic resources for the different types of resources that you want in there until you start getting maybe 60%, 80% down the road, and you think it's going to close. Then you start thinking about soft booking the resources. And then when the deal closes, you'll hard book them, or you may hard book them shortly before. So the model that we have built in here is exactly that, is start with the generic resource, and then when you're ready to, go find the resource that you need to fulfill that role. We'll just go ahead and take a look at that. So if you want to do a booking, you can jump out and take a look at who's available that fits the criteria. Well, Tricia fits the criteria. In this case, and that's important to note, the different roles have, shall we say, a standard set of skills or competencies that go with them. Now, and you may have different business divisions where they would have different, same title, different skills, that's supportable as well. Fundamentally, it comes down to being able to match the right resource with the right skill set to that particular set of work. In this case, Tricia came up, but when we look at it, she's already booked in a number of things, so she's not an available resource, so we'd have to go look more broadly beyond her. Let's see if we can find anyone else. We may have to adjust the set of capabilities. Well, okay, so there aren't a whole lot of folks available. I will have to come back to that in just a moment. Functional consultants, okay. Take a look at that in just a moment. One of the things we can do is also compare folks. So once you find two resources that have a similar looking profile and you want to take a look at them, you have the option to begin comparing them from a profile perspective in terms of what their competencies and capabilities are. So moving back up, we've gone down into the weeds here, but this gives you a sense for how deep we go towards where the actual project is being scoped out, planned out, and then resource assignments can happen. Now let's back out of there for a moment and go down another pathway. So we'll go back to the opportunity. This is our cheat sheet going back up to recent records. And go back down to the quote. We said onshore and then offshore as options. So let's jump into the onshore one and look at the development side. So here we have the development work, which is the second project in this scope of this proposal. It has no quote line details. It has no details at all. It doesn't have any cost structure to it. So this is where we'll just go ahead and create one. So we'll say we need a project. New. We'll build it from a template, but let's say, okay, this is Chic CRM Design and Development. And we'll use a project template. We'll use an agile method for it. Say the start date is around 10/15. And the template, by the way, comes with a standard set of hours and a standard set of associated costs. Now, you can accordion that if you need to. We're going to, for sake of expediency, just go ahead and go with what we have as the out-of-the-box template. And that, of course, can be adjusted once we jump into it. So now we've associated a project to this, and we're going to go fill out the project and then come back to the quote lines and show the details that are going to go into the quote. So we go into the development project. It's still copying over the work breakdown structure from the template. That should complete in just a few more seconds. And in the meantime, go ahead and accordion these out. Okay, so you see that we have no team other than Prakash at the moment. So when we create a project, the project manager who created it is automatically assigned. You could change that if you wanted to, but the assumption is that that project manager, the person creating this, will be on the project at some level. So that's done by default. And let's see. At the risk of doing this, we'll jump in and see if it's made progress. It's still copying. Okay. Let me show you something that's in the roadmap here while that's happening. So what you were seeing right here, and it's taking a little bit longer than it normally does, so I'm not quite sure what's happening there. But as we create the project, there it is. It's pulling over that template, including dependencies and predecessor dependent tasks and so on. And so you see that structure there and nested structures around the project. We have also got an MS project integration that is coming. I'm not allowed to say when, but is in the process of coming right now. So we'll take a look at that in just a second here. So this is the work breakdown structure. We could, of course, do the usual stuff of adding some more dependencies. We could change the time a bit and have things kick out as they do there. But let's go ahead and generate a project team from this. So this generate project team looks for the minimum number of resources based on the different roles and requirements that you've specified in order to fulfill this project. So it says that you're going to need 2 functional, 1 program manager, 3 developers, and so on. So there's just a simple algorithm in there that underlying this looks for the most efficient way to fulfill this from a roles perspective. So now that we've done that, we can flip over to the project team members and see the generic resources that were created for that. So these are the set of resources you didn't, that you would leave in there until you're ready to book them. In this case, we'll just assume that we're moving fast. The customer is almost certainly going to rubber stamp this, so we'll go ahead and try to book some folks. We can hard book them. I think I have developers in aplenty in here. Yes, many more developers that are available. So we'll go ahead and book Faith. I already showed you the compare. So book her to that. So this is an account manager, a service delivery manager function or a project manager can just book resources directly. Now, your organization may or may not allow that. You may have a scheduler, for example, who is required to be overseeing who is booked to what. In that situation, instead of booking the person directly, and note Faith Charles, which is added here, we can take a resource and say submit request. So Prakash can ask the manager to please find me a great developer. Okay. And then we can look at the lens through the view from a resource manager perspective. Now, Prakash, I have him as a super user, so he gets access to everything for demo purposes. But you can see in here, we just got a request for the CRM design and development project. And so the resource manager can have a queue of these requests sitting there, take a look at each of the requests, look at any notes, you know, please find me a great developer, probably more in depth than that, and what the skill set requirements are, other details around the project, even preferred organizational units. So this is important for those of you that are multinational, transnational in terms of your org structure. We have built in the different business units or sourcing units for resources, so you can do borrowed and loaned resources between organizations. So currently, the template says US is the standard, so the project is created in the US, it just goes with domestic or local resources as its default. However, you can specify, and that's where we probably won't jump into it after all today, but if you were doing the offshore hybrid quote and you wanted those developers to all be based out of India, you could actually swap them out and say, I want that developer role to be fulfilled out of India and to take the transfer price between our organizations and the hopefully lower price point or cost point for that resource and use that offshore resource instead. So here, the resource manager can then say, okay, find resources. And just as before, do some comparison shopping. look at relative availability among those resources. And of course, if it was requested after the fact, can go look in other geos as well. Or if she needs to, she can go look in other geos to find the resources that are available in those other locations. We'll just go back to the US. Oh, and by the way, you might have noticed that some resources are showing up in both, and that's because they're global resources. So you have some resources that can be at the SWAT team level, if you will, and then you can have the others that are tied to specific resources. So we'll just take Vicky Barker and propose booking. So this is where a resource manager often has to have a negotiation with the party that's looking for a person. So you can't just, you could just go and assign them, but often it's better to be able to say, hey, I think this is a good fit for your project. So she can say back to Prakash, take a look at Vicky. And send that back, which then yields back on Prakash's side. Let's go back to the project. So when Prakash looks at his team, he will find this proposal right here that's just come back from the resource manager. I just opened the requirement, not the, go back. Okay, so here's the ongoing notes between, so the project manager and the resource manager essentially can have a dialogue. Instead of jumping on email constantly, they have a very targeted dialogue around fulfillment of this particular resource requirement for the project. She could, of course, he could turn it down, or he can go ahead and say, yep, looks like a good fit, and accept, or he could reject, either way, but in this, we'll just say he accepts Vicky as the developer for this project. See, did that take? Oh, it's processing. Okay, one more method that I'd like to show you, and this will just jump back to the project. In the frame of the, okay, Prakash, Faith, and Vicky. That's curious. Not sure what happened there. We still have some generic resources that are lined up here. So for those generic resources, we could also take a look at making those available to to folks who are sitting on the bench or other parties that are looking for work. So thinking of it through the millennial sort of mindset of there's an app for that again, the final method of scheduling that we have at this time is to make it available for folks in the field to go ahead and access. Okay, let me try that again. There we go. So for folks in the field to look on their apps to find what projects are available. So in this case, I'm logged in as Trisha, just a project resource in the field. And she can go on and take a look at what projects are available out there at this point in time. What are the skill sets required? The little circles here indicate whether she's a good fit based on her skill sets. And on that basis, and also take a look at who's the project team, who's in the project team, maybe their likes and dislikes. And in fact, there's also the option of filtering by connections. So looking at the world through the lens of who have I worked with most frequently in the past, use those connections to find other projects with people that I may prefer, if you will, to work with, assuming that I have such availability. And then she can go in and apply for a project component. Now, I'll tell you that that particular demo is attached to my dev build, and so it's actually not going to show up in what we were just looking at, but I want to show you that side in just a moment. So that's the application sent that you see there, and that's how you would start to see as a project manager a couple of these line items start to fill in with their candidates available, and then at a certain point click on it, see who's interested, compare them, and then decide which one to accept. So these are the three ways that we have built into the product at this point in time for resources to be put onto specific tasks or into specific roles on the projects. Okay, now let's jump back to the important thing of finishing out that quote, because I see that time is rapidly winding down here. So we had project team members, and we now have project estimates. As we'd seen before, this is a little bit more complicated project, so it's a little more interesting to look at. But what I'd like to call out is that you have different roles and different tasks listed here. So when we go back to the quoting side of things, let's see. Go back to the quote and find the development work. Okay, there we are. We can now create the quote line details from the project. So this is, again, account management side and service delivery side coming together. So the service delivery manager says, okay, here's the project that we think is necessary in order to deliver on this. Account manager can say, okay, I've kind of reviewed it. I agree. It's higher than I wanted it to be, but that's the way it is. So we'll go ahead and import from there. I'm going to pull it in at a bit of a summary level so we don't get every bit of detail there. And import the specific lines. And now the import process is also so that you can deliver to the quote to the customer with the right breakout of the information. So what you saw back there is the ability to slice and dice from different parts of the details to develop your quote structure. So here you have the specific quote lines that could be shared with the customer as appropriate in your proposal document, getting down to the specific phases and roles attached to those, quantities, prices, and so on. Okay, and of course, importantly, you can also create an invoice schedule, whether it's monthly, bi-monthly, and so on, a billing start date, and so on, so that you then get that. And you can also do milestone-based billing as well, where you do an actual manual entry around specific milestones. In a future point, when we get full support for milestones, we should be able to then tie specific billing events to milestones. We don't have that in the product at this stage in time. So you just manually pick the particular points and enter a line item for that milestone-based billing. And now that allows us finally to go back up to the top level and see at the quote that we have pulled in a whole lot more cost now. Let's take a look at what that did for us. I would already calculate it. Okay. Okay, so now we're seeing much more detail here about the revenue and costs over time, the different resources. This 104,000, by the way, that's showing as blank, that's something we have as a work item for us, is that that's the software. So the product, the software licenses show up as no role, so we have to put that in as product in the future. And finally, we have the view of it from the customer's budget perspective. We actually are coming in a little bit lower than 100,000 now. So in the past, we had it as 100,000 because it was just a figure that the account manager had put in, said, ballpark 100,000, that's what their budget is, that's what we'll ask for them. From them. But once you put in the project and actually did the detail work, it actually turns out that we, in this case, can come in below what the budget is for the customer to deliver on this project at 84,000 or 85,000. But what if your competition is still lower? That's one of those key questions. And so one last thing I'm going to show here, and then we're going to we actually covered two major sections, so we'll blitz on, is on the quote, I didn't show you that we can actually modify the pricing. So we'll go back into that one, CRM, design, and development, and go to the chargeability view, because this is where the account manager has very granular control over what prices are going to be quoted to the customer. So far, we've been operating off a standard price list. Everything that's underlying those different roles, they have a standard cost rate, they have a standard price rate, and that's by geo. What you see here is the ability to go in and say, okay, well, for those functional consultants, we sell them at $170 an hour. They cost $120. Let's do some work here and edit the prices. So our competition seems to be coming in at about $15,000, $20,000 below us. We need to do some work and see if we can come in, still be margin positive, but have a price point that's going to work for the customer and to win this deal. I think my sandbox server is running a little bit slow here. What you'll see when we get there is that the account manager can override the price. So instead of $170 an hour, go down to $135 or anything that's margin positive. And in theory, could even go below cost if that's what was necessary. You'll see first foremost functional consultant, we'll go down to 100, let's say we'll go to 150. And then let's be crazy and do something. Okay, principal consultant, we didn't have one of those on there. Technical consultant, let's just go down to 100 for the sake of argument. If you go below cost, it warns you. So let's not do that. Okay, we'll save that. And note also that if you switched and you had some folks coming out of India, and for this particular deal, there's an agreement between the two organizations that you could change, if you will, the price point level. You could actually have, that is the intercompany or the intergroup borrowed and loan price point. You could actually modify that as well. Of course, it's going to show flags on their side, and they'll have to have the notes on their side to show that they accepted that. So we can save and close there. And our price point should now drop. It may not drop by 10 or 15,000, but it should drop by a bit there. So while that's processing, let me just show one other thing on the other side. This is a fuller environment. It's a dev box. And in project service, as we were showing before, we have opportunities. And I'll just show you the other way that we can create opportunities in the future. So go into CRM opportunities. This is a bit of a mirror. Come down to project quotes, and oops, sorry, okay, where are we here? Oh, this one already has a project associated. Go offshore. Okay. So going into the opportunity, and we're going to show the hybrid offshore. I believe this one doesn't have a project associated with it. There we go. So no project associated. So we can add a project. From here, but one of the other options that we have is to go in to MS project. Again, future functionality. Can't say at the moment exactly when it will be available, but you'll take a look and judge for yourself here if it's getting close to prime time. Oops. I didn't need that. File new. Okay. So in project service, we have a new add-in that's coming, which allows you to then specify what CRM, project service automation based server you want to connect with. Okay, and then create a new project from here. So pick the customer, Chic, department stores, link to project, publish. I just realized I should have done the template first. That's the problem with using dev boxes. Okay. We will try it again. Unlink. We go open, and here we go. We'll open a template. Okay. So here we have a template that we opened from Project Service Automation. So it's sitting there in the same environment that we were just looking at. It's one of the same shared templates. We opened it in MS Project. And then we can make some modifications to it. Let's go just add some more days here. Do some of the other good stuff that MS Project allows you to do from a design perspective. Milestones, by the way, I should note, are not presently zero. The zero effort milestones turn into a 1 hour effort milestone at the moment. We have a good deal of demand for not doing it that way exactly, and so we're working on that, but I'm not sure when we'll be able to deliver that piece of it. And so now you can create a new project from here. So this is a plugin for the MS Project Pro client. Because of the need for server connectivity, the Pro client comes with that particular functionality. So any project manager who has that capability can go in and use MS Project instead of going into this application environment. So then we go in here, go to Projects. What do we call that? I think I may have just hit the demo error situation. Okay, let's flip back to the slides and just get through the rest of the capabilities that are coming. This finished processing. Let's just take a look at our price there. Okay, so on the last demo that I was showing where we changed the price points, as you can see, it's now down to 81,800. So this is where that control comes in terms of being able to price at a very specific level for projects. Okay, so now what have we covered so far? We've actually covered the first two and a bit of the three chevrons. So from an opportunity management perspective, the opportunity, crafting it, creating quotes, multiple versions of quotes, then detailing those with projects underneath the quotes, then pricing those different quote items differently depending on how you're competing in the marketplace. All of that is between opportunity management and the project planning component. I don't have a demo of this right now. There's also a customer interactive portal capability that's coming. That's based off of the CRM portal functionality that we acquired. It was formerly ADX, for those of you who know that, and have variously developed and extended since its acquisition. That will deliver a customer-facing, lightweight at this stage capability for interacting with the service provider, and similarly, a partner side of things if you have subcontractors or other parties that you work with. Again, still very light at this stage. We will go much deeper on that over time. We talked about the actual scoping of the projects, both time and materials, and the last one I was working on, I failed to mention, is a time and materials project as opposed to fixed price. And being able to use those estimates to drive the quote line details that bubble up to what you present to the customer. The project client integration, that I just hit a bit of a snafu there, but that is in development. The timing, again, TBD, but that is one of the things that is a short list of items that we plan to deliver. And various screenshots from that. Resource management, we went through the three different ways to schedule resources to a project. I didn't show you the utilization views. That's a screenshot of that. So from a capacity management perspective, if you're a resource manager or a practice manager, you can look at who's at what level of utilization across the different time frames, and then begin to make decisions about who needs to get more work assigned to them, who needs to perhaps take some more training to get the skill sets for what's hot now so they can then onboard into that area, and on the rounding errors, situations where you need to counsel them on alternative careers. So that is one of the various capabilities there. And of course, I showed you the mobile device experience as well. Team collaboration, Okay, unified resource scheduling. So this is something that is also roadmap. I can't show this today. It's not quite there yet, even in for this audience here, for a technical audience. But this will now begin to take the field service resources, the project resources in an organization, and then increasingly other kinds of resources or activities, and put them all on one schedule view. So you see here Project A, Project B, the WO is for work orders. And so you can see different work activity that is scheduled to, in this case, Marv's, the developer. This could also include appointments and other types of activities like a pursuit or an opportunity that they need to be scheduled to. This is where we're going with the platform and the capability, is to be able to schedule, I'd say it's a bit strong to say anything to anything, but certainly people and equipment or sort of typical types of resources that you want to schedule to an activity or a work effort. And then to be able to see your capacity across those different types of resources and manage those efficiently, effectively, and have different slices and views of those as well, depending on who the resource manager is. If it's an equipment stockroom manager or something like that, then they're going to have a different view of the world than a professional service project team or project group manager. So those are the different slices and views that we'll make available around scheduling of resources. Mentioned briefly partner resources. This is on the roadmap. It's a little bit further out, I think, in terms of managing subcontractor resources as part of your extended resource pool, but that is sort of fundamentally necessary for project-based organizations. So we know that, and we are working on that. The first step is just the portal, being able to get visibility into the projects that you're working on together, then resource availability and sharing and so on. On the One Microsoft experience, I completely glossed over that, but for those of you who use CRM, you might be familiar with Office Groups. Office Groups allows you to collaborate in context. Oops. Okay, it's cat blocks. There we go. Okay. So back on that opportunity, I should actually show you that. One of the little features that's embedded in there is Office Groups. So if you're working on an opportunity or you're working on a project, you can spin up an Office Group around it, and then directly within the project service automation environment or the sales component environment, you can interact with the team members that are assigned to or are working on that particular project. But more importantly, when you schedule new resources to a project, and you have an Office Group associated with that project, their permissions flow through directly. So they will have access to that office group on the basis of being scheduled to the project. So you don't have to have an account manager or a project manager go in and say, grant access to this group to such and such. Next, grant access to, and to keep on doing that, because that's what those kind of productivity killers, if you will. So because we have the different components all in the cloud, we can stitch them together, and we can allow you to just automate the delivery of permissions to join the group along with joining the project. So you can have notebooks, documents, talk tracks, and shared calendars as well in here, so just like that. And because of that, there's also the opportunity. All right, different build. So because of that integration, there's the ability to go the next step, which we're going to go into time and expense, and take a look at, OK, switch over. Look at what's coming there. So the One Microsoft experience is something that I think will just keep getting better and better. We're really at, I still think, the early stages of really stitching in our different applications, especially across different business groups and so on. But these are the examples of, shall we say, baby steps in that direction that I think are going to make a difference in the day-to-day user experience and productivity, and focus people more on the client interaction instead of the internal administrative type work. On the time and expense side, this is the UI and experience for time entry. I think we have just a few moments. Let me show that. Yes. Yes. Well, okay, so let me distinguish. The ones that, the slides that said, the question was, is this available in the product today? The slides that said roadmap are the ones that are under development. The items that you saw that didn't say roadmap and the things you were seeing in most of the demo you saw, except for the MS Project piece where I had some integration challenges there, that was all GA product. Available today. I'm sorry? The previous screen, this one? Yes, Office Groups has been in market for about a year. So that's available. The permissions and sending the privileges through, that is something that came up in the last summer release. So last thing here, just get in there. OK, so while that's loading, I'll just show you the slide. I think so we've got time and expense. And then what's coming is Exchange calendar integration. So manually entering timesheets is the bane of most consultants' existence, especially on Friday. So what we're doing now is developing the ability to take your assignments, push them to your Exchange calendar, and then have the assignments from your Exchange calendar come in as suggested time entries on your timesheet. Okay, so you schedule somebody to a project, they can see it on their calendar, they see it come in as, on their timesheet as a draft or suggested entry, they can accept it or modify it or override it. But that reduces a key step in most consultants' lives in terms of getting to the timesheet on time on Friday afternoon before you head back home. Further, there will be some more investments around that particular area to extend that capability. But at least the key thing is to be able to connect those pieces is that first step that we're delivering in the near future. And then, of course, billing and integration into other systems. So for billing, we have an invoice component to the solution where you can essentially craft an invoice based on what you agreed to and contracted with the customer. The key thing on that is that because all of your price agreements, and if you overrode your price point agreements in terms of your standard prices and had a special arrangement with that customer, those are all in the same system and they flow directly through to your billing proposal. So that means that there's consistency with what you originally proposed to the customer and what you're billing the customer. That's what's fundamentally nice about the end-to-end experience of having all of these pieces in one system. Now, we don't do tax calculations, though, I should point out. So that's where you'd have to have an integration into a tax calculation engine to figure out what the right values are to put in for the taxes. Because we're not a true ERP system, we're not trying to be. We're a front office system for interacting with the clients and among your team members. So the bills, you can raise a bill that has all of the appropriately priced components, and you can also do write-offs if you have to. You can write down some of the elements if some of the things were going over time and were not really the client's fault, but your own internal challenges, or simply just to keep good relations with the customer. Whatever is necessary, those features and capabilities are there. And then finally, we have the ability to take all those actuals and we capture them in fairly structured tables, if you will, that you can then send over to your ERP system in a transactional manner. The ERP system can pick them up and put them against, say, a general ledger or some other sub-account, the set of sub-accounts that they should be hitting, and manage the financial side of the picture that way. And that's where your connection point to the accounts receivable team, for example, would come from, is that set of actuals that you send over to the ERP side of the house. We do have some work in process on integrating directly into our own ERP systems. And I don't have a date that I can give you certain for that, but some of you have probably heard about the common data model. That is one of the components that will be an enabling factor for delivery of that integration over to our own ERP products. And lastly, something I can demo for you is, yes, analytics. So Power BI, we set out to deliver that in the last release. Okay, and just for those of here, I'll go ahead and just show you. Before we go to Power BI, just time and expense. Nope, we'll show Power BI. The new set of templates and reports that we are delivering will include those for a resource manager, a practice manager, account manager, and resource manager. So the way this works is that we have a new plugin or a solution extension to the platform that allows us to synchronize data to an Azure SQL database. And so you select the set of entities that you want to push over into SQL Azure. They become available for your data warehouse and other activities as you like, but importantly, you can then write reports using Power BI Desktop, for example, to craft them and shape them against that data, and then publish those to Power BI Online, and then finally create dashboard add-ins for your executives. So the way that works is, as I was just saying, you can create these different templates and reports, and then publish them. And when you publish them to Power BI, then they come over here in Power BI as different types of reports. And you'll see that there's a fairly good array of different kinds of reports around cost, revenue, on the account side around gross margin, revenue by customer, revenue by resource, and then resource management, utilization and forecasts, role utilization forecasts, and so on. So many of the reporting capabilities that often haven't been there out of the box for some of our project-based solutions, we are now going to deliver as, shall we say, bite-sized pieces through the Power BI side of things. And then the best part then is the final part, which is where you take a particular dashboard. So in this case, Ignite Fall 2016. You then go to one of these reports and pull up a component that you would like to incorporate. Okay, what happened? I think I just lost connection. Okay, I think I may have lost the connection while I was sitting there. You can then pick from any of those report templates and drag and drop the components into sorry, I was in the wrong section. Okay, so we take revenue by resource. Let's take that and say that my target is the Ignite Fall 2016 template dashboard, so we'll go ahead and pin that to the dashboard. So now we can go over to Prakash and take a look at his dashboard. And instead of the practice manager dashboard that comes out of the box within the platform, can switch over to the dashboard that's coming from Azure directly and see components rendered there. And I think I still need to do some more refreshing there. So that's still in development, but we've got all of the pieces now built out. We've got the reports built, and I think something went wrong would be the application, would be the statement on that particular piece of the demo, but what you'll see is that capability to now have real-time data, sorry, real-time's a bad word, because that creates an expectation that's perhaps a little bit too much. There is a cadence you set at which you're going to push the data over to Azure, and it will be as fresh as the data that gets to Azure. And so you don't want actually real-time, because that would be far too much load on the system. So maybe every 30 minutes, for example, or every hour, you would update the Azure SQL database with the set of recent records, and that will then be available and visible in the dashboard. So you can just need to set the expectation with your internal stakeholders as to what that freshness rate is, and that's how fresh the data would be. Okay. So the published Power BI is the last piece of innovation, if you will, that we're working on right now. And then from there, it's going to become That's the structure there. And then to recap on the roadmap, so client integration for the MS Project application coming soon. Scheduling unification, relative near future, but that's one that we'll need to see the announcements around what the timing will be. Exchange integration, unified contracts I mentioned, bringing in the field service components as well, and the collaborative portals. So those are the key things that are coming, or at least are in the works right now from a development perspective. And when they finish and land is probably going to be announced at CRMUG. So ultimately, just to, wrap up here and then take any questions that you have, I hope at least you see that we're trying to build this around what many project-based organizations actually do. Historically, we haven't really built vertical or industry-specific applications. At least this is a function-specific application. It's purpose-built. We're driving towards that productivity from the perspective of reducing the number of clicks that have to happen for some activities like time entry, being one of those examples, improving the connectivity between teams, like the sales side versus the service delivery side, talking to each other. Working on intelligence around, for example, what's the ideal or the most efficient project team the generate project team functionality that you saw in the from the Gantt chart to create the team structure, and other kinds of shortcuts like that. And then from an adaptability perspective, looking at it from perspective of harvesting all the capabilities that are in the platform and exposing those and making those adjustable and configurable for you from a delivery perspective internally or to your clients. So for those of you who haven't tried CRM-based platforms yet and the PSA solution, you can just go try it right now online. In about 4 to 5 minutes from sign up, you will have a instance up and running that actually has project service installed and has demo data on it as well, so you can actually find your way around. That includes all of the current in-market product. And then, of course, if you so choose, you can look at converting that to a purchase at some point as well. But the main thing is, I think, get familiar with it, give it a test drive, use the trial, and then use some of the other solutions that partners are beginning to develop as well. I've seen some indication that some of those will be coming out in the near future as well. If you are looking for specific materials, there's a range of items here for guides as well as white papers. And for those of you looking for the more technical, the white papers would be the ideal place. And that slide wasn't in there before. I believe this is a event slide. So you may have seen this one before on planning and investment of resources. So let's end with that. Yes, please send evaluations in, and then maybe take some questions if you have any questions. I think we are 2 minutes over, but I'll take any questions that you may have. Yes, sir. So for the sake of the recording, the question was on are there easier ways to import client data so they can see it in a familiar user experience, if you will, familiar content. At the moment, the package deployer method is the only one that we have. So you'd have to actually parse out into the XML file structure your client's data. So there'd a transform of some sort between the client's data content into the target structure is what you'd actually have to develop in order to do that. Once you build that, at least you know what the structure is that's your target. You can do the mapping. That should be more reasonable. That's a good example of something where we would like at some point people to take like CDM, for example, and that'd be a good application of the common data model, because you could then just push the data into that format and have a consistent method or tool, which we should probably be building, but we aren't at the moment. So, yeah, the unfortunately, package deployers is the only option at the moment. Other questions? Oh, yeah.
My question was around when you use generic resources, was that decrementing any resources or?
So I think it only shows as a requirement or a request in the system. It is actually putting out a set of placeholders in the system, but it's not actually decrementing because your existing resources aren't booked. So if from a capacity management perspective, if you're trying to look at outstanding work requests that might come in, it's actually in the system, but we don't expose it anywhere today. That's the kind of thing where if you look into the entities and look at the bookings, mm-hmm. the bookings against generic resources are in there when you do those the generic resource entry. You'd have to just create a report that pulls the generic resources by function or role.
I see.
And then you could actually look at the combination of available hours from your real resources, your named resources, versus outstanding requests And you probably want to put some kind of percentage expected likelihood of landing kind of trimming on those.
Okay,
then you could get capacity.
Okay, and then how does the system handle that soft book and that hard book?
The soft book is, as I understand, is just a status level that then indicates that you can see it, that somebody else has already got a sort of a claim or a potential claim on that resource. I don't think there's nothing that stops you from booking that resource for something else in the meantime. It's really just making awareness that there is that booking there.
Okay, so is that affecting that user's utilization then?
Excellent question. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm trying to understand it from a field service perspective too.
Okay.
Okay. Do you happen to know if that's the same for field service?
It's the same engine underneath.
Yeah.
So it should be the same result. And we are making some modifications, but it's going to be a consistent same engine across both. So even if you're booking resources to something else, like opportunities, it'll be soft booking or hard booking through the same engine.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand. The concept of soft book is not decrementing a resource. Is that what I heard?
It's making others aware that you kind of have dibs.
Yeah.
But it doesn't actually do anything in terms of changing their metrics.
Like that utilization chart?
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
I didn't see a way you can book a resource across a project. Like in our organization, like an architect, or if I'm using it, not a developer, he's across like 5 projects, maybe 30%, 10%. Is there a way I can do that? We usually don't have architects over just one small project. He's overseeing like 5 small projects.
Interesting. So you're trying to say, take this architect for 20 hours for these 5 projects.
I don't think
the data model currently is designed for that. I'd have to go check.
Yeah, I didn't see you demo that, so I wasn't sure. Okay.
I don't, that'd almost certainly be a customization in order to accomplish that, but have to look at the data model to be sure.
Yeah, sometimes we have those consulting hours, 10 hours for this project, and come back and do something else, so. Or
okay.
Even parallelly handle 5 projects.
Okay.
Okay, good to know.
Good feedback.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. All right, I guess we'll wrap. And if there's, happy to take questions afterwards, but I think we've captured a good chunk of those. So thank you very much. Apologies that some of the demos didn't quite go the way they were supposed to.